Okay, good morning, versus Rabbi Krohn. We are on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. We are about nine lines from the top where it says Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi. So yesterday we spent some time talking about cases where the husband would be required to divorce his wife and give her a ksuba, either because he had some sort of mum, some sort of defect, and we talked about the differences between whether it was a mum that he had before they were married versus a mum that he developed once they were married. We talked about the difference between small mumim and large mumim, and then we also talked about what about if they're in certain professions, which they do, you know, have developed some sort of gross odor or some sort of something that's distasteful about them. And then we ended up with talking about cases where the husband is forced to divorce the wife, or one way or another, either because it's an inappropriate marriage, such as a, you know, kohen to someone they're not supposed to marry, or, and then we ended up with the case of someone who does not agree to, refuses to support his wife. And we talked about whether they actually forced them to get divorced, or they forced them just to feed the wife. And ultimately for these cases, whether the way they forced them out of the marriage was by virtue of, you know, being, talking to them strictly, or actually physically beating them. So continuing on that, so Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Sach li zaken echad, and again we're on the top of Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, about nine lines on the top. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Sach li zaken echad me'anshei Yerushalayim. So an old resident of Yerushalayim came to me and he said, "Esrim va'arba mukei shchin him," that there are 24 different varieties of people that get shchin. You know, shchin is typically translated as boils. It's typically what we, you know, understand as from being one of the 10 plagues in Egypt. But he's saying that there's actually many different varieties of them. The chulan amru chachamim tashmish kashlim, and in all cases, the chachamim say that having relations when you have shchin is bad for them. It makes it worse. Uvale rasan kashim kulan, and people that have this disease called rasan, which we'll get into in a fair amount of detail, it's even worse. So mimaihave. So how do you get rasan? How does someone get rasan? Detanya, we learned in a bereisa, hiki's dam, someone who did bloodletting, which was very common back in the day, vishimesh, and then had relations, having lebanim vai saiken. He'll have children that are not strong. Rashi translates vai saiken as chalashim, as weak. His kikiz u'shneihem, that both the man and the woman did bloodletting, vishimshu, and then they had relations, having lobanim bali ras, and then that is the recipe to have children that have this disease called rasan. Rapapa says, lo arman elodol time midday. This only happens if they didn't eat something between having bloodletting and having relations. Aval tam midei les lenva. But if they were wise enough that after their bloodletting to eat something, it wouldn't cause rasan. So bottom line is, if they both did bloodletting and they went straight from bloodletting to having relations, it leads to offspring with this disease called rasan. So maisi menai, what is the symptoms of someone with rasan? Dalfan ene, his eyes are tearing. V'dayve nechire, and his nose runs. V'etele rire mipume, and he always has, like, I won't say foaming of the mouth, but he always has a lot of saliva coming out of his mouth. Uruma didve ilve, and he always has like this set of flies that are flying around him. Umay asuse, and what's the cure for this, for you doctors in the audience? Amar Abaye, you take some ingredients. Pile velodna, you take this thing called pennyroyal, which is a kind of mint, and you take wormwood. Girda de goza, you take the bark of a nut tree. The girda de ashpa, and shavings of some sort of hide. Uchalo malka, and you take a lily. Umaskala diktikla sukma, and you take the calyx that covers red dates, meaning dates that have not really matured. So you take that whole Harry Potter recipe, v'shalak lahu b'hadi adadi, and you boil them well up together. And you take that person into a house made out of marble, and the explanation is that it's something that it's kind of an airtight room. I guess because the any kind of breeze might cause a problem, so you take them into this room made of marble. And if you don't happen to have access to this marble room or marble house, you take them to this house that has walls that are 7.5 bricks thick. So that means that it's a house that has these extremely thick walls. And again, the whole point of it is that it becomes airtight as a result. Then what you do is you take this potion and you pour 300 cups of it on top of his head. And the question is, 300 doesn't necessarily literally mean 300. It means you pour a lot. Right, so you pour a lot of this potion on his head, ad darfe arise demoche, until his head or his skull becomes soft. Okay, then you can imagine what happens next. The kari lemoche, then you tear open his skull, and by doing that, it exposes whatever this thing is that's growing within his head. Umaise arba tarfe daase. Then you go to your surgical supply store and you get 4 myrtle leaves. Umadle kochad karev mosiv chad, and you lift up each leg of this thing and you put one of these leaves underneath it. Because if you don't do that, if you don't do it in that way, it's kind of like when they tell you if you see like an animal or a kid gets like a tick bite, you have to use like a credit card to scrape it off quickly, because otherwise it'll just dig itself further into the body. So if you don't like use these leaves and put them under each part, if you try to lift them up one at a time, you'll wind up causing a bigger problem. V'shakal b'svate, and you remove this organism with tongs. V'kalile, and you burn it. D'lo, if you don't burn it, then hadir ilve, then it'll figure out a way of getting back into the skull of the person himself. So obviously this is a very complicated procedure, and somehow it gets rid of this very complicated disease. Machriz Rabbi Yochanan, as Rabbi Yochanan said, he's haru mizvuze bali rasan, that people should be careful if they happen to know someone who has this disease of rasan, to stay away from the flies that are flying around him, because they can, maybe they're contagious. Rav Zeira lo have yasib ezike, and Rav Zeira would not sit even like downwind of someone who had this, because he was so concerned about this being contagious. And lo Rav Elazar ayil bahalai, Rav Elazar would not even go into the tent of someone who had it. Rav Ami Rav Asi lo have achu mibei dehavi mivoi. Rav Ami and Rav Asi were so careful that they wouldn't even eat eggs that were in the same neighborhood of someone who was afflicted with this. And they certainly would avoid anything that potentially can lead to this contagion spreading. However, there is somebody that was different. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Michrach Behu. He would hang out with them. V'asik b'Torah, and he would learn Torah with them. Amar Eiles Ahavim V'Yalislein, because he would say, the Torah is considered a beloved hind and it fuses charm. That comes from Mishle. Im chein mala alomde, meaning it gives charm to the people that study it. Therefore, aguni lo magne, therefore it also protects them from the disease as well. So because they're studying Torah, he felt he was completely protected from whatever this crazy disease, and therefore would go out of his way to learn with these people that would be otherwise completely avoided. And that this is just a statement of how great he was. So now we're going to talk more about how great Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was. Ki havik shachiv, when it was time for him to die, and this whole next story is a very big allegorical story that there's, Malblim and the Michtav Eliyahu try to explain, which maybe we'll explain in a little bit. Amalu, when he was ready to die, Amalu Lamalchamavis, they, meaning the Bezdin Shalmala, said to the Malchamavis, Zil Avid Le Reuse, Whatever this guy wants, let him have it. Give him whatever he wishes. Azal Yistile, so the Malach HaMavis came to him. Armalei Achvelei Duchte. He said, take me to Gan Eden and show me where my place is going to be. You know, ostensibly, you know, when after 120 years, a person goes to Gan Eden, they have a place in Gan Eden that's relative to how well they did in this world. So in theory, what he's looking to do is to see how, you know, what's my station going to be in Gan Eden. Armalei Lechaye, the Malach HaMavis says to him, sure, no problem, I'll take you. Armalei Havi Lisikanech. He says to him, give me your knife. You know, and typically the Malach HaMavis, the way he ultimately kills people is he has some special magical knife. He says, so give me that knife. Because maybe you'll frighten me along the way. Maybe you'll actually wind up killing me along the way, and that's not what I'm really asking you to do. So Yahweh Nile. Therefore, the Malach HaMavis gave him this knife. When he ultimately got there, Dale Ka Machvele. So the angel lifted Rabbi Yeshua Levi up against some sort of wall, against the wall that surrounds Gan Eden, and showed him where his place was going to be in Gan Eden. So what does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi do? Shaver Nafal Hugisa. He jumped over the wall and came to the other, went to the other side, meaning he tried to get in to Gan Eden. Typically, someone can't get into Gan Eden until they are dead. And he was jumping over the wall to get into Gan Eden. Nakde Bekarni Degalme, but the Malach HaMavis hung on to the corner of his coat. And after which, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Armalei B'Shvute Deloisa. He made a Shvua that I will not come back. Meaning he said, he made a shvua that he's going to remain in Olam Haba. So therefore, there's this problem now because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is in Olam Haba. He's not dead, and he made a shvua. So what do you do then? So Amar Kutcha Bruchu. So the Eibishter says, I itshel ashvute dander. If Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had ever made a neder in his life, and he did Hataras Nedarim against that Nader. Nehader, he has to go back. Ilo Nedar, but if he never had a Shvua that he made annulled. In other words, any Shvua he made, he always kept no matter what. He was allowed to stay in Gan Eden. You know, ostensibly, he obviously never did Hataras Nedarim on any Shvua that he made, so therefore he would have been allowed to stay. So Armalei, so the Malach HaMavis said to him, Havli Sikane, hey, you still have my knife, at least give me my knife back. Lo have Kav Yavile, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi didn't want to give him the knife back. Nafka Baskala, so a Baskal from Shamayim came and Armalei and says to him, Hav Nile, give it to him. Why? The Mispa Livraisai. You don't have to worry about it. You know, you don't have to worry about it. The Malach HaMavis still has a job to do. He has a job to do, and there are other people that he has to do what he has to do. He's not going to use it against you. He's going to use it against other people that are bound to die. So now Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is up in Gan Eden. He's alive. Machris Eliyahu comes. Eliyahu Navi comes to him, and he says, Panu makum avar Levi, clear a place for him. Panu makum avar Levi, so clear a place for the son of Levi. Azgal Ashkechle Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and he went and he found Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, to have a yasiv al tlas aser takvitei pisa, that it was sitting on 13 golden chairs in some sort of pyramid. And you know, there's different views of what the 13 chairs represent, etc. Armalei ashu bar Levi, he says, are you really the son of Levi? Are you really Rabbi Shimon ben Levi? Armalei hein. He says, yes. V'neras akeshes b'yamecha. Did you ever see a rainbow during your days? Right? So Rabbi Shimon Chai asked him, did you ever see a rainbow? Armalei hein. He says, yes. Im kein I ata bar Levi. If so, you're not really the son of Levi. What this really means is, you know, it's kind of like the Zusha story, right? Zusha's worry was that he was going to go up to Shemayim after he died, and they were going to say, you could have been this level, but you weren't even like Zusha should have been, right? So you meaning you could have been greater. Not that he was disputing who he was, but he was like, your potential was to keep the world in such a good state that they would never have a rainbow, because a rainbow symbolizes that Hashem was planning to destroy the world. V'lohi, but it wasn't really the truth. D'lo havi midai, because there was never a rainbow in Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's days, so he really was on that higher level. V'lo sarvala, ela sarvala, but he said to himself, aksik tu v'silinavshi, I'm not gonna brag about how good he was. And he did this kind of out of humility. So if you take the time later on, if you want to read note 25, there's a whole discourse from the Maharal and Michtav Eliyahu about, you know, what this really means. And it means that typically when a person, after 120 years, when a person passes away, there's a disconnect between the body and the soul, where the, you know, the body remains on the earth, and it's because it was involved in all of the mundane things of this world. But the soul is elevated, and the soul is elevated and is therefore eligible to go into Gan Eden. But when it comes to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, because he had lived such a high-level life, that his body and his soul were on this highest possible level, then there was no reason in theory that he shouldn't be able to go to Gan Eden himself, as he was. And, you know, there's this discussion about at the end of the story, he's lying, you know, he does a couple of things that are a little that seem to be maybe not so appropriate, and the note explains why it may not be so bad. You know, first he makes the shvua, and then he lies a little bit at the end about whether he saw a rainbow or not. But I leave that for your reading and later on. Now, we have a similar issue with another Amora. Rabbi Chanina ben Parpa Shushvina Hayiba. He was, for whatever, however this means, he was good buddies with the Malach HaMavis. Ki have kai nicha nafshe, when it was time for him to die, Amrele lo Malach HaMavis zil avid le'ru'use. He said to the Malach HaMavis, the Bezdin Shomala said to the Malach HaMavis, do for him whatever he wants. Similar story. Azal agave v'isfale, he went and he came up to him. Amrele, shvike tlase yom adineda tamudeh. So Rabbi Chanina ben Parpa said, hey, let me have another 30 days so that I can do chazara on all my Talmud Torah. The Amri Ashri Misha Balachan v'Talmudo biados, because it's great to go up to Shamayim and have all of your Torah learning with you. Shafke, and the Malach HaMavis allowed him to remain for 30 days. Levasa Tlasi Yomim Azal Iskei Le. After 30 days, he went back. Armale Achve Le Duchte. He said, similar to the last story, show me my place in Gan Eden. Armale Lechaye says, sure. Armale Havli Sakinach, let me have your knife. Dilma Mavasilu Beorche, again, maybe you'll frighten me along the way, you'll kill me along the way. Armale Kechaverech Basil Mevile, Zamach Mava said, I saw this movie before. You're going to do what your friend wanted to do, but to me, I'm not giving you my knife. Armale, so Marvachidim Ben Chanani said to the Malach HaMavis, Eisei Sefer Torah V'chaseh, bring a Sefer Torah and check. Mi ikamide de chasebed lo kamase. Is there anything written in the Torah that I did not do? So therefore, you know, I was able to fulfill the Torah absolutely, and therefore I should be allowed to go into the into Olam Haba, similar to the prior story. Amale, the Malach HaMavis said to him, mi ikars bevali rasam v'iskek b'Torah. However, here's the difference. Did you like the prior story? Were you one person who actually learnt with the people that had Rasan, right? Which he learned was one of the great things that he did, and he didn't, right? So because he didn't, he was Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi put himself in this great level of risk to show his commitment to the Torah, and that was potentially the merit that led him go into Gan Eden without impacting the Malach HaMavis. Even though Rabbi Chanina ben Parpa didn't have this schus, he nach nafshe when he died, afsik le amudna denura mendidnil almay. There was a column of fire that was there, separating between him and everybody else. Ugmire delo mafsik amudna denura, and there's this misora that this fire does not come and, you know, surround the person. Elu lechad bedari elu trade bedari, only for one or two people in a generation. They have to be like the most distinguished in the generation. They kind of separate them from everybody else. Kar v'gavle Rabbi Alexandria, Ozaria came to the calm of fire. Amar asei b'shvil kavod chachamim, and he said to Rabbi Chanina ben Parpa, for the merit of that, you know, get rid of the fire for the merit of the other talmid chachamim. But the lo ashke, but the calm of fire didn't listen. So then he said, Asa bishvil kvod avicha, do for the kavod of your father's house, lo ashkech. The column of fire didn't pay attention. Asa bishvil kvod atzmecha, then he said, get rid of the fire so that people could show you kavod to yourself. Istlik, at that point, the column of fire went away. Amar Abaye, and Abaye said, Vafuke l'man de lo kayim. The column of fire is meant to separate between the people, the person who died and was, you know, really fulfilled the significant amount of the Torah, from those who did not do it. So Amale Rav Ada Bar Masna, Lafuke Mimar, it excludes the person, the lo isle ma'akele igre, that does not have a fence for his roof as required by the Torah. So whatever that means, it kind of to exclude people who did not weren't protective of the Torah, I think is what it means. Vilohi, and this was not so. Mihave, so Abaye certainly had a fence for his roof. So maybe this means it literally that he really had a fence for his roof. But he shot the Huda Shade Zika. But at the time that Rav Ada noticed that he made this comment, maybe the wind came and blew the fence down. So Amar Rabbi Chanina. So back to the discussion of the Rasan. Mipnei ma ein bali Rasan b'Bavel. So why don't we ever see Rasan here in Bavel? Because in Bavel they eat beets and they drink beer comes from hops that grow on prickly shrubs. So for whatever reason that kind of protects them. And Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mipnei ma ein mitzorah in Bavel. Why don't we have tzoras here in Bavel? Similar reason. Mipnei she'ochin tartin, because they eat beets. The shosin sheikhar, and they drink beer. The rochsim mefras, and they bathe in the waters of the Euphrates River. So I guess because they had this diet and this these practices, they were able to protect themselves from these diseases. With this, we'll conclude. Hadron alacha meidir. I'm Mazel Tov finishing the seventh parak of Skubos. Looking forward to Shem next week, to beginning the eighth parak. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.